On today's Question of Faith, what do I need to know to be a godparent? Hey everybody, this is Question of Faith. I am Mike Hayes. I am the Young Adult Ministry Director in the Diocese of Cleveland.
And I'm Father Damian Ferentz, the Vicar for Evangelization.
And I'm Krista Aliberta. I'm on the Young Adult Advisory Board.
Yes, you are. And you're a parishioner where?
St. Hilary in Fairlawn.
In Fairlawn, so yes. It's a little suburb of Akron there, right?
It is, yes.
See, I've learned my Cleveland geography over the time I've been here.
Yeah, so last time, Krista, I think I saw you, we had a little gathering for Mike's birthday over in Lakewood, and we were discussing, godparents, and then I told Mike, I said, someday we have to have you on the show, and then we decided, well, we should do a show on godparents, and so here we are.
Yes.
So thanks for coming.
Great topic.
Thanks for coming up from the 330 from Summit County.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. So you're a godparent yourself, correct?
I am a godparent. Yeah.
For whom?
My nephew, who's 10 years old. I have a niece and two nephews, but yeah, he's the middle of the three. It's been a huge blessing and such a gift to be a godparent and an aunt.
Yeah, tell me about godmother. What are the responsibilities and what did you have to do in order to be officially a godparent or godmother? Do you remember it's 10 years ago, but.
Yeah, it was 10 years ago. I believe I had to have all my sacraments up to date. I had to make sure that, as a practicing Catholic and living out my faith as best as I can. And I just remember I was at the baptism, the Mass, and there's a special role that godparents play. I think they help pray over the child. And really, it's a gift and a responsibility. So it's not just a title, but it's really a gift. And the role is really to be a part of that child's life, and especially their spiritual development, and to really encourage them on their faith journey. So it's important to be a witness and just show them what it means to live out that baptismal call as best as you can, what it means to try to have Christ at the center of your life and to share Christ with the world and to pray for them and to really just accompany that child and be with them throughout their life in their spiritual journey.
That's cool. Now, was this modeled for you? Did you have active godparents in your life?
I did. Okay. Yeah, I remember. My aunt was my godmother, and then we had a really close family friend. I called him my uncle, but he was my godfather, and he's a very devout Catholic. And it really helped to have those models, someone else who's not your parents, just
Correct.
Showing you what it means to live out your faith.
Correct.
It was very inspirational, and they really just pointed me back to my faith and pointed me back to God and what that meant to live out our call.
Yeah, there's great wisdom in the church for that, and Mike and I have talked about this often, that it could be that you have the most wonderful Catholic parents, and they're raising you right and treating you right and telling you all the right things to do. But as you're growing up, you want to know that it's not just them who's telling you this thing. And so you have some other voices around who can, although the parents are the first and best teachers in the ways of faith, you want other people to support their raising of you. So my situation's similar. My godparents, both of them, were not aunt and uncle by blood.
Okay.
But I always called them Uncle Jim and Aunt Mary. And they were very active in my life and we're like family. So, they often say that blood is thicker than water, meaning your family are closer than just your friends. But I like to say, and this is what Jesus says, that's why I like to say it, that those who you share the blood of Christ with and the body of Christ with and your faith with are actually closer to you than even your own family, because we probably all have family members who we may be close to or may not, but people that we know and share the Lord with and share our faith with, there's a deeper intimacy there than even with our own biology, the family of faith.
Absolutely.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm similar to you. I have a one-on-one. My mother's brother was my godfather, and then a family friend was my godmother. However, neither one were really big parts of my life. My mother's brother was. Whenever I'd go over to my grandmother's house, he'd be there because he still lived in the house, and we would hang out, which was fun. But my the family friend, she passed away like when I was very young. I was only about 3 or 4, maybe. And then I'm a godparent. My friends Jonathan and Marianne asked me to be Noah, their son's god, their second son's godparent, because they met on one of my retreats.
Oh my gosh!
And so they asked Marianne and I to be the godparents of their kid, which was really a lot of fun. And like, as you said, Father D, you know, the roles really do assist the parents and the raising of the child's faith as best as we can.
I too am a godfather to 12 godchildren.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I tell people it's like that Catholic family. They're like, well, we can have one more. All right, I got 3. That's good. Here's 4. Here's 5. Like, I can't say no, you know. It's the non-contraceptive mentality I have. But I will say that I'm not as good of a godparent as my – well, it's different. My godparents, because of my mom and dad – it was their best friends. I would see them every Sunday after Mass at St. Wendelin. Mm. So they became really close. But with my godchildren, I don't see them all as much. But what I do is I pray for them by name every day. Mm-hmm. And I promise their parents I'd pray for them by name every day and try to be the best priest I could be. And that's about what I can offer.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I don't, unfortunately, I don't remember all the birthdays and baptismal days. Sometimes I slip them some palm cash when I see them, you know, a little gift. But every, you know, I don't know. What do you do for your godson, did you say?
Yeah, godson. So I'll give him special gifts. I mean, it's really cool to witness him and the other kids make their sacraments. So he had his first communion a couple years ago. You know, I just try to make it very obvious. You know, I'm living my life of faith. I share that, and I'm very open that it's a part of my daily life. And I'm actually in a unique situation because my brother's family goes to the same parish as I do. So they're also a member of St. Hilary. So it's really cool when I can see them at Mass on a regular basis. We're worshiping together. You know, he's getting to the age where he can participate more in the liturgy. My niece is an altar server, so that may be something that he decides to do. But it's really a gift that way because you know, they can see my involvement in the church when I'm a Eucharistic minister or when I'm doing my liturgical dance ministry, or there's just different ways that we can worship together. And it's really cool to be able to see them and be a part of their life in that way.
It's very cool.
Mm. Yeah. For me, it's kind of cool. Noah's baptism day is my birthday. Which I always say it was the best birthday present ever. It was the SVP godfather. So I always remember, I'm always eager to remember him on my birthday, so I usually go. They now live in North Carolina. They used to live where I lived in New York, so we'd see them all the time. And then when we'd go, now even when we moved, we would go home to New York and see them. But now they've moved to North Carolina, so we see them a little less. But I try to, you know, either on their baptism day or on any other kind of religious holiday, I try to send them a little something religious if I can, you know, and see if, and then this way they remember that I'm their godfather and Marianne's their godmother. So
I do get invited to the first communions and the confirmations and try to be there and give a nice gift and a little note. And on retreats, oftentimes their parents will say, hey, could you write a help letter here? And so I'm quick to do that too.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I babysat them a lot. You know, we pray together. I talk about my faith. And so there's things like that that I can do just on a regular basis to integrate that in our life. Yeah.
I don't celebrate as many weddings as I used to when I was a parish priest, but still sometimes at a wedding mass, like I had one last year in one of the Carolinas, I think it was North Carolina, and it was the godparents of the bride, I think, who brought up the gifts. And that was very moving. It's like, I'm still connected to my godparents, and they have a role in this sacrament. So they were there when I was baptized, and now they're here when I'm getting married. I think that's cool when you're an active part of their life. And even if you're not, you guys are more active than I am in the remembering of things, but that you're there and you're praying for and being a good witness, those are all very important things, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. So if someone asks you to be a godparent, what are the things that you have to do? First of all, you have to be a practicing Catholic, so you have to be baptized and confirmed.
Right, and if you're in a marriage, your marriage has to be in in the church, right? So yeah, you have to be a fully initiating practicing Catholic. So you have to be baptized, First Communion, Confirmation. You have to be an active member of a parish, because you need the pastor to sign off that you are indeed worthy of this yeah. ministry, of this role.
That you're an active Catholic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That you'll be a good example for the person. You know, he's going to sign off to say, yeah, that's a person mm-hmm. who we can count mm-hmm. on.
Right. I'm trying to think if there are any. It's been a while. I'm out of the game here, man. If there's anything else, then those are the two big ones, I think.
Yeah. Those are things I remember doing. I remember I had my baptismal certificate, and those mm-hmm. kinds of things had to be witnessed by someone.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
To notarize things.
Okay. Yeah. That's bringing back memory.
Okay. So being a godparent's obviously been a joy for all three of us, really. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
And what else brings us joy is the parishes that we attend. And so, Krista, you're a parishioner at St. Hilary in Fairlawn, correct?
I am, yes.
Tell us a little bit about St. Hilary.
Yes, St. Hilary is a wonderful community. It's very vibrant. There's a lot of ministries. I think there's over 100 ministries. They do a lot of social outreach, a lot of Bible studies, retreats, a lot of things for your personal spiritual development. But it's a very vibrant, welcoming community. There's a great staff there. Our priests are great. Father Steve Brunovsky.
Good Slovak.
Yeah. Father Cam Popik. Just wonderful, supportive community. And I've found a great home there and a lot of ways to contribute my own skills and gifts to the parish. So I love it.
Is that where you were baptized and raised? Or did
I
you
was
move
not.
There as
I
an
actually,
adult?
I grew up at St. Francis Xavier in Medina.
Oh,
and
cool.
That's where I made all of my sacraments.
Okay.
So not too far.
Yeah, not too far.
Yeah.
It's, are they both on 18 or close to 18, isn't that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Down, 18
right.
just down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, cool.
And what ministries are you involved in? I think you mentioned a couple of them earlier,
yes.
right? Yeah.
So I'm a Eucharistic minister. I was on our women's retreat team. Mm. I'm in liturgical dance ministry. And I've helped out with different projects like the five-year planning committee. So,
nice.
Yeah. So I've helped out in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, and you work for Smucker's, right?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
my full-time job.
That's excellent. And now our only priest to be ordained this year is one of your parishioners, Deacon
oh, right.
Michael Garvin, who will
yes.
be Father Michael Garvin come May, God willing. So that's pretty exciting. I don't know when was the last time you had a priest come out of St. Hilary's, but
yeah, I think it's been a few
news.
Years.
Great.
But yeah, they're coordinating a group and a bus trip to take parishioners up here for his ordination.
Nice.
And yeah, so we should have a lot of support.
It's cool.
Yeah.
A sign that you have a good pastor and a trustworthy parish is that they'll send seminarians to you and they'll send newly ordained priests to you. And your parish has done that well because it's training ground for clergy and future clergy. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we typically get one of the newly ordained priests. So
mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see who we get in the next couple of years.
And I know Father Jeff Barnish and Father Eric Garris both did their internships down there when they were seminarians.
They did, mm-hmm. yeah. That was before I was a parishioner there, but
okay.
they did,
yeah.
yes.
Nice. So it's St. Hilary in Fairlawn. And, you know, if Krista's familiar to some of you, either her voice or if you're watching on video, her face, last year she did a little video for us for our Holy Night Hike, which is coming up. And so we're getting ready.
Yes, and we didn't call it Holy Night Hike last year. So
right.
here's the idea. In Rome, on Holy Thursday evening, so after you celebrate the Mass of the Lord's Supper, you'll recall that there is not a final blessing, but the Blessed Sacrament is taken in a ciborium, not a monstrance, outside of the church and over to a side altar for reposition. And it's supposed to be like being with Jesus in the garden, and there's time for prayer at night. So in Rome, they leave the churches open with these altars of repose for hours, sometimes up until midnight. And then the practice is that you would visit seven different churches and pray in each of those churches. So they're called station churches. Some of our parishes in the diocese have stayed open and welcomed people. And there were some small groups who were doing a little bit of these station church pilgrimages. But last year, we formalized it for the very first time. And so up here in Cleveland, last year, we had 21 parishes. Four were in Lakewood, and the others were in Cleveland, that stayed open until 11 o'clock. And seven of them, there is one loop in the whole Diocese of Cleveland that you can walk within 3 hours. And so that loop of seven parishes is what we are calling this year the Holy Night Hike. We have 8 billboards up in Ohio City, Duck Island, and Tremont advertising right now. We just took an ad out in Scene Magazine. We're hitting it hot on social media. But each of those parishes will celebrate the Mass of the Lord's Supper at 7 p.m. And then from 8 to 11, we're inviting everybody, but especially young adults, to come out and make a pilgrimage to visit these 7 different churches. There will be candles. There will be little passports provided. You could get a sticker at each of the parishes. The parishes are St. Patrick's on Bridge, St. Malachy, St. Emmerich. Those are in like Ohio City, Hingetown. Cross the Abbey Bridge. Get over to Tremont, St. John Cantius, St. Augustine, St. Andrew Kim, and then down Willie Hill to St. Wendelin. So you can go in any order. You can start wherever you want, but we give you like a circle that you can do all the churches in about 3 hours. Last year, we had about 400 participants. Mm-hmm. This year, we're hoping to double that and have 800 participants. The only thing we really don't have any control over is the weather. So it's March 28th. It's about a week or two earlier than last year. So if it's a day like today, it would be nice. And if it's not, then it might not be as nice. But we build community doing hard things together, even if the weather's tough. So pray for good weather. And I should mention this too. In addition to those 7 churches, this year we have 24 staying open in the Cleveland area. We have 9 staying open in Summit County in Akron. And then we have, I think, 7 in Lorain County.
That's right.
And there are other parishes. Like I know many Parma parishes are staying open too. Next year, maybe we'll try it with all the parishes. We'll ask them to all stay open. But for this year, we have a few staying open and we're sponsoring them. So that's the Holy Night Hike.
That'll be fun. Everybody gets a candle.
Make some friends, exercise, invite people who have never visited these Catholic churches to come. I mean, that's why we did the billboards in the Scene magazine. There's so many young adults living in Ohio City, Duck Island, and Tremont. Maybe we'll get some people to come out and walk with us for the first time, meet some friends, and say, I want to be part of this.
That's right. As we've been saying in all of our marketing, you don't have to be Catholic. You don't have to be a practicing Catholic. You don't even have to believe in God.
No.
Just come on out. See our churches. Have a night with us at Holy Thursday.
Happens.
At the end of the night, a couple of us will be gathering over at Forest City Brew, too. They'll still be open. So if you feel like dropping by, feel free to drop by.
Yeah, that's just north of St. Wendelin. You could park at St. Wendelin and go there. They're very good friends to us. So
And no sign-ups. There's no registration. Just show up. So show up at one of the churches and start to walk on your own. You're celebrating Mass where?
I'm celebrating Mass at St. Wendelin at 7 p.m., and then whoever wants to, join me, and we'll walk together. I did that last year. We had a group of about 20, 25, and we walked the loop together. It took about 3 hours, and it was a wonderful time.
I will join you this year.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Yeah,
I did it last year.
You did?
It was really fun. It was awesome to see all the different churches, the diversity. It was a good time.
Yeah. And some of these churches you wouldn't think to stop into. Like, so for instance, St. Wendelin is traditionally a Slovak church, John Cantius, Polish. St. Augustine, great ministry to the deaf community.
Mm-hmm.
And then St. Andrew Kim is our Korean community. And that was my favorite visit last year because they were singing in Korean when we got into the church. It was so beautiful. St. Emmerich is Hungarian traditionally, and then Pats and Malachy are traditionally Irish, but everybody from the neighborhood, you know, it's that's what they traditionally were. So they still have those traditions, but there's an influx of all new traditions too. So check these places out. They're all beautiful churches. They're old and they're beautiful and you should see them.
If you need more information, dioceseofcleveland.org/holynighthike. The billboards look great, by the way.
They do. I want to see the one in Korean. Simon the Seminarian translated it for us, so
nice.
I have to find it.
Yeah, I have to find that one, too. I haven't seen that one either. I'll have to drive around the day and do that. So that's Holy Night Hike coming up soon, Holy Thursday. You know, I met my wife on Holy Thursday.
Oh, wow.
I think you told me last year you washed her feet or something. No, or when you proposed to her, you washed her feet or she washed your feet.
You're close. It was a year later on the same Holy Thursday, and we washed each other's feet on that Holy Thursday. But when I met her on Holy Thursday, I did not wash her feet.
Oh, I was going to say that would be pretty aggressive for a first date.
That's right.
All right, honey, it's the end of the night now. Sit down. I've got a basin and some water.
It's been really great meeting you.
I'm going to wash your feet.
Wash your feet, and then, you know. How about a burger later? Right. No, it was the funny thing about me meeting her was that I saw her early on, and we had a mutual friend who kept telling me that I should meet Marion. And so I was like, oh, that's Patty's friend. I should go over and talk to her. And then during the procession, which is in darkness, right, I lost them in the crowd. I didn't know where they were. And I was like, oh, well, maybe it's just not meant to be. And, you know, just walked out. And so I walked into the diner across the street from the church to grab a burger before I go home, and they were all sitting in there, and my friend Patty was like, why don't you sit down? And I swear, it took maybe 15 minutes, and it was Patty and her friend Linda were no longer in the room. It was just me and Mary. And every day since.
Oh, my gosh.
Longest running Broadway show, Mike and Marion.
While we're at it, I just thought of some Catholic trivia that's important, and it came up recently. So on Holy Thursday night, when the Blessed Sacrament is taken from the church to the altar of repose, it is not done so in a monstrance.
Right.
It is done so in a ciborium. And a reason for that is because all the Eucharist needs to be that was consecrated that night will be then distributed the next day at Good Friday liturgy, which is not a Mass.
Right.
So there is no confection of Eucharist at that Mass. So that's why it's a ciborium and not a monstrance. Some people say, we should use a monstrance. The church says, use a ciborium. And so that's what we do. So if you're wondering, there's a little bit of Catholic trivia for you.
There you go. Yeah. Perfect.
Oh, nice.
And so our readings for this coming Sunday, it's Palm Sunday already. Happy continued Lent. Palm Sunday is here.
Yeah, the Passion.
Yes.
Narrative from Mark's Gospel, which is beautiful and oftentimes doesn't need a long homily after. Mostly on Palm Sunday when I preach, I just invite people to participate in the Triduum. It's not an obligation. You don't have to go to Holy Thursday or Good Friday or the Easter Vigil. But if you want to grow in faith and be more who you are made to be, then why not take a deep dive into Christ's Paschal Mystery?
It is my favorite time of the year, not just because I met my wife on Holy Thursday, but it's always been my favorite time of the year going to all three services and then Easter Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Lent is my favorite liturgical season, but yeah, really getting into Holy Week is just very special, very moving. You know, I think Palm Sunday Mass just really sets the tone for that week. Mm-hmm. So,
cool. So Palm Sunday, Holy Night Hike, be a godparent. Whole bunch more. Krista, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll have this and a whole lot more next time here on Question of Faith.